Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are delighted to be with you and hopeful things that we share with you will be a help to you as we look to God's Word for the answer. This is a live call-in radio broadcast where you set the theme by calling in your questions. Your questions will serve as the subject matter, and we will go to God's Word to try to find an answer to the question that lies on your heart. The lines are open at this point, so go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That is the voice line at the station, 308-9564. Again, we are live today, and so you can call in right now. Again, that number is 308-9564. If there's some question that you heard or you've been in discussion with maybe one of your friends at work or perhaps even someone in the place where you assemble, it may be that there is something that you heard today that was taught from the pulpit, and you're wondering, is that really in the Bible? Or does the Bible says more on that particular subject? We'd be more than happy to go to God's Word to find the answer to the question that you may have this day. So go ahead and take advantage of the voice line that's ready. We're ready and willing to take that question. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Again, 308-9564.
Both lines are available, and we are waiting for your questions. We will go to the Bible for the answer. Thus, it'll be God given the answer. Hopefully, we will be staying out of His way and just letting His Word. We'll give you book, chapter, and verse for it for you to check us out and make certain whether these things are so. One thing you will not hear, hopefully, from us ever will be what we think or what we feel, because that will not get us anywhere. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death, Proverbs 14, verse 12 says. Jeremiah put it, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. So we're not going to give you what man says. We want to give you what God says in his word. We'll give you book, chapter, verse, and we're happy to be able to have you call in your question right now as we let the Bible speak. We want you to know that there's two ways to communicate with us, with your voice, and that is the 308-9564. You can go live over the air. The only thing we ask for you to be ready to do is to make certain that you're ready to turn your radio down and also give us your name so we can converse as friends and by addressing you with your name. And that way you'll know exactly when you are on the air as we call you by name. And so we're glad to be able to have you join us through your voice. Voice question, or you can rather, if you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283, 725-9283, and we can get your text question, and we're glad to go to the Bible on those as well. We also want you to be aware of our website. If you have friends or relatives that are some distance away and cannot pick up the radio signal, they can tune in via the website. That is www.BibleAlone.com, and they hit the live stream button, and that will take them to the live stream of this radio station, and they too can join us. Now, let me encourage you, if you call relatives that live somewhere else in the world, that you let them know that these telephone numbers are all area code 843. 843 is the area code for all the phone numbers during this program. Again, that website is www.BibleAlone.com, and they can tune in live stream, or they can listen to previous broadcasts, or you can download many of the Bible studies, the questions that come up most often here as well. And one other thing, the Bible Correspondence course is on there as well, and so you can just download that and use it all you want to. We are more than happy to serve. Everything we offer to you is free of charge. We will never ask for a handout. Never ask for money. It will be our pleasure to share with you the priceless riches that the Lord has blessed us with. We're not talking about money. We're talking about the treasure in heaven that the Lord Himself will give. So now is your chance to cash in on the eternal treasure that God wants us to have. It is not a matter of something we can spend here or taste or touch. It is a matter of what comes next after the last beat of our heart. So now's your chance. Go ahead and call in your question. Be blessed by God and His Word as we let the Bible speak. Again, the number is 308 3083-9564. The lines are available, 3089564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Alan calls in today. Alan, we sure appreciate your listening. Alan says, are there apostles today, or was Paul the last one? Well, when we look in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, Paul does sort of, it seems to use that language, although there may be some questions around that. If we look at 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, he talks about Jesus as Jesus appeared to the apostles. In verse 5, he says, and he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that he was seen by James and then by all the apostles. In verse 8, Paul refers to himself. He says, then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. In verse 9, he says, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And that text continues on. And so Paul refers to himself as an apostle. He refers to the fact that he did see Jesus. In the language that he used here, he says, last of all. Now, that could mean the idea of last of all for that time period or last for all time. The Greek word that used there, though, seem to signify last for all time. But you might want to study that further. You notice also that the apostles had a specific role. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, when Jesus is talking to his apostles, he tells them in verse 8, but you shall receive power, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so the role of the apostles that Jesus selected, they had, their role was not just for their time period, but they were going to be a witness of Jesus until the ends of the earth. I haven't met a person yet who has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ as a result of the words of these same apostles. So everyone that I know of that have obeyed the message has obeyed as a result of the message that the apostles that Jesus selected, including Paul, have preached, and they serve, they still serve today as a witness, eyewitness of Jesus Christ. We knew that that was going to be one of the requirements. If you look in Acts chapter 1 and verses 21 through 26, I'm not going to read that text, but you'll see that as they're selecting one to replace Judas as an apostle, one of the requirements is that they had to have been with Jesus. Again, these were going to be people who could testify, eyewitness, give an eyewitness account of Jesus. I hope that's been helpful to you. When we look at that kind of language in the Bible, it doesn't seem that there are apostles, that is to say, someone else being an apostle today, but we still have the apostles that Jesus selected, and they're still doing the same work that he wanted them to do, that is to say, to be a witness of him and to deliver the message of the gospel. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the line to call, 308-9564. We are live. Go ahead and call in your questions right now. If you prefer, you can text us at 725-9283.
We are live, so go ahead and call in your question right now. The text line, if you'd rather use your cell phone, you can text us at 725-9283. Either way, we'll get your question here at the studio, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. So heaven will give the answer, and it will be here at the studio that we'll be able to share with you what God's Word says, and thus God is answering the question. Thus, let's go to the Bible. Let's let the Bible speak. Let's let God answer the questions on the things that pertain to life and godliness. You might wonder, well, why is it so important to do that? Well, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says that through the knowledge of him he has given all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him, Christ. So if we have all things that pertain to life and godliness, then 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says, this scripture, this word of God, is sufficient for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. So if that's where every good work, all things that pertain to life and godliness are contained, well, why would we go anywhere else for answers? Especially when you add to that fact that one day we're going to stand before God face to face, and he's going to judge us to determine our eternal destiny, where we're going to spend eternity based on what he has said in his word. So why shouldn't we go to the Bible for the answer? There where all the answers are, And if we go beyond this word, we are transgressing. That means go, the word transgress means go beyond. So if we go beyond his word, we transgress, which is sin. So what we need to do is just to go by his word in everything that pertains to life and godliness. So we do not make any apology. You may have people that you know or friends or even maybe your preacher that says, listen to me, I've got the answers. My friends, Galatians chapter 1, Paul himself wouldn't even have said that. He says, though we, Galatians 1 and verse 8, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what you have, what has been preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received 2,000 years ago, let them be accursed, anathema, annihilated. God does not fool around. When he speaks, we should listen. So what about your question? Go ahead and call it in right now at 308-9564, 308-WJNI. It's time for us to take our first break. And exciting news today, so make certain that you pay attention to this, especially those of you that live in the Hollywood, Wanamala Island, the St. John's, John's Island, that is, John's Island, and also Adams Run. Make certain you pay attention to the upcoming announcement. We finally arranged a meeting for y'all, and so hopefully we'll be able to meet you face-to-face. Also, we want you to be aware of our correspondence course. If you want to enroll in the correspondence course, which you will learn many things in God's Word through taking that, then call the operator standing by right now, 553-5157. It is free. It'll be in tomorrow's mail. Don't miss out on this. We're glad to send it to you. You very well may discover things in God's Word that you have never seen before. That number again is 553-5157. If you already have got the course, go ahead and call in your question. 308-9564 is the number. We'll be right back.
Thank you so much for tuning in and staying with us throughout the break. We hope that you are able to take advantage of the meeting that's going to be forthcoming, and so we want to encourage you to come and participate with us.
And don't forget the correspondence course offering. The operator is standing by right now, and so make certain that you go ahead and enroll in that today, which is 553-5157 is the number. Go ahead and call the operator standing by, and we will be glad to get the question. We'll be able to get the Bible correspondence course right to you, 553-5157. Got a note from a Bible student this week, which was quite interesting. They say that that they listen to Let the Bible Speak every Sunday, and that they had some questions that they would like to ask because they'll be listening. And they think his name is Randy. And so, Randy, we thank you for tuning in, and hopefully this will be of a blessing to you. Three-part question is his question. It says, if I'm not baptized, that is, immersed, will I be left out of the heavenly kingdom? Part two, and if I can't be baptized by immersion, will being sprinkled by baptism by brothers here be acceptable? And then number three, give me your alls and better, let the Bible speak on what I can do as far about being baptized. So I think he means how can we be baptized? They are incarcerated, and so that is not, that seems as if that may not be an option to them. Randy, thank you for writing in your question, and we will go to the Bible right now concerning that question. Well, first of all, let's go to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, I believe we will find the answer to this. Just in case you did not know this, the word baptism is Greek. It is not an English word. It is Greek. Many years ago, starting in the King James era of the 15 and 1600s, they stopped translating the word baptizo into English and started transliterating it. That means instead of word for word, they took it alphabet for alphabet, letter for letter. And so from the B from beta to B and from alpha to A and so on to spell out the word. But the translation into English of that word means immersion. So first of all, the word itself means to dip, to plunge, or to immerse. That is the Greek word that is very, very clear on that. However, when we use the word baptism, some have changed the actual meaning of the word to mean sprinkling or pouring. But when the Bible was written, there was no such thing as that word ever being referred to as anything but immersion. So with that in mind, let's read it just like that. And I've got a couple of translations, and there are several out that actually do translate it into the English word. And so in Romans chapter 6, begin with verse 3, it says, do you not know that as many of us as were, and there's our word, baptized, we could put the, and should, probably ought to read that as immersed into Christ Jesus, were immersed into his death. Therefore, we are buried. Now, see, you didn't even have to know that that word meant immersion, because you see that word burial in verse 4? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism, through immersion, into death. That just as Christ was raised, now again, the idea of raise also says something, doesn't it, about this. Therefore, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, in verse 5 there, did you notice the word if? He said, for if we have been united, that is, in this baptism, in this death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, if. So what if not? What if we have not been united together in the likeness of his death? Will we have that resurrection of life? I agree, because that was the if statement that was contained in. So then he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died. Now, what does that mean? Remember back in verse 4, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death. So when we are baptized, that is, we're dying, for he who has died has been freed from sin. So, Randy, when it comes down to this question of yours, all we can do is just let the Bible speak on this. But there in Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 through 7, I think you've got all the answers to your questions. Now, if you want to read more on this, then by all means, let me give you some references. Hopefully you have a pencil to write these down. Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul himself was told to arise and be baptized, wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Then also 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, it brings out that baptism doth also now save us, that it's not the putting away the filth of the flesh, not like taking a bath, but it is an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Christ Jesus. So there are three verses that seem to be very clear in this, and hopefully you're a fast writer. Mark 16:16 and Acts 2:38 also fit into your question. Thank you, Randy. And I will see what we can do about meeting you face-to-face and helping you to complete your obedience to the Lord there, even in the facility that you're in. We'll see what we can do. We'll try. Thank you so much for calling, and thank you for listening. We sure do appreciate it very much. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. It is our purpose to just go to the Bible for the questions that are on your mind, and you can call in those questions right now. And what we'll do is we'll just go straight to the Bible for the answer. So let's do that. Right now, call in your question at 308-9564.
Edna calls in today. Edna says, how do you know when God is speaking to you? Well, Edna, that's a very good question. When we take a look at the Bible, what we'll see is that God spoke in many different ways. So in the Old Testament, he spoke directly to the fathers or the head of the household, people like Abraham and Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, you'll see God speaking directly to Noah. And then, as the Hebrew writer reveals to us in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that God would speak also by the prophets to the fathers. That is to say, he would use prophets to speak to the fathers. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet. In verse 2 of chapter 1, he says, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. And so at one time he spoke by prophets. And then this text says in these last days he spoke by his Son. Now his Son would select apostles, and their job really was to carry the message. And so Jesus would give them, this teaching, this message, in the 3.5 years approximately that he was with them. And then after Jesus, or prior to his death, he would tell them that he's going to send them the Comforter, or the Holy Spirit, a helper that was going to guide them in all truth. In John the 16th chapter, in verse 14, verse 15, Jesus says that he will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And so Jesus says the message that he has, he was going to give to the Holy Spirit, and thus the Holy Spirit was going to declare it to the apostles. Now, these men, these apostles, then they took the message out. We see that occur in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, where they preached the first gospel sermon after Jesus' resurrection. We see that Jesus commissioned them to go out in Matthew the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20, and they were supposed to carry the message. We see them working with the local churches as they were being implemented or established in various locations, the church at Rome. That's where we get our Romans letter, the church at Ephesus. That's where we get our the church of Ephesians. That's where we get our letter to Ephesus. And so they would write to the church at Corinth, the church at Thessalonica. And oftentimes, a lot of those letters came from Paul and Peter. And so these apostles were actually writing letters. And so just a couple of passages to look at for in your own private study to note how that these apostles now were communicating with the churches by way of writing letters. You have Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 6. Ephesians 3, 3 through 6, and then also 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And so this message was going to be a spoken message, but it was also going to be communicated by these letters that they would write. And you and I today, we still have those letters. We still have that message that was given by inspiration of the Spirit. And so your question is, how do I know when God is talking to me? Well, the way God talks to us today is the same way he's talked to us, or he spoke to the people in time past, by way of the apostles. We have the apostles' word, and thus those letters were written to the churches. And so if I'm a part of a church today, the only way I can hear from God is by the letters that was sent to the churches. And that's how we know what we can and cannot do. That's how we know how to be saved. The book of Acts gives every account of where a person was converted or was saved. And so if I want to know about salvation or how to be saved, I go right there to the book of Acts, and I have those examples and the words of the apostles. Thus, I have the word of the Spirit. Thus, I have the word of Jesus. Thus, I have the word of God. And so God has given us his word so that we might know his will. One final passage, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, talks about God giving us all things that pertain unto life and unto godliness. We have it all. I hope that's been helpful. If you join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564.
Or if you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283. The choice of how to communicate is totally up to you. We are more than happy to be able to share with you what God's Word says on the questions of your heart. Quick question from Solomon. Solomon wants to know, is there anything special about the seventh child in the Bible? Well, I looked and did not see any correlation to the seventh child versus any others. There was something special about the first child, the firstborn, that would get a double portion of inheritance, but nothing about the seventh child. Is there anything special about people named Solomon? Well, again, there was, to my knowledge, there was only one Solomon in the Bible. And he was a king that was the son of David, and he himself made the name famous by the things that he did and didn't do. But the word itself means peace, if that's of any significance to you. And so hopefully, I don't know if that was any help to you at all, but I apologize if it wasn't. There's just nothing in the Bible about either one of those. It's time for us to take our next break. We want you to know that we're going to tell you about the correspondence course. It is free. We'll be glad to send this to you in the mail. We literally have thousands of people on courses in this area, and we're more than happy to send it to you as well. It is free. It'll be in tomorrow's mail, and we're glad to send it to you. We're thankful that you have a desire to know what God says, and that will be expressed in your studying of His Word. And so you can take that course and study it in the middle of the night if you want to. If you're a night owl and you don't like the morning time, then you can just take it and study anytime you want to. And thus, you can enroll in this. We'll get it in the mail to you. And then once you fill it out, be sure you send it back so we can grade it and send you the next lessons. And thus, it'll be back and forth until you finish the course. And then we'll make certain a nice certificate is put into your hands. And so please do not miss out on this free offer today. We are more than glad to send this to you absolutely free. Here are the details on that. If you're already a student, go ahead and call your question. The lines are idle right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right live now. And please don't miss out on the opportunity to get this course in the mail to you. There is a live operator standing by right now to be able to get your information, and we will be glad to send that to you free of charge. And by the way, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, but we do not sell your information. We keep it to ourselves, and then the most we'll ever do with it is contact you when we're going to be in your area, like this gospel meeting that we're going to be having soon. And so that's basically what we do. And so we won't ever sell your information. That would be silly for us to spend all this money to giving you a course and all of the things associated with this, only to sell your – anyway, we would never do that. So don't hesitate about getting the course sent in the mail to you free. We are more than happy to be able to send it to you. So the operator is standing by right now at 553-5157. So if you have a question, go ahead and call the voice line at 308-9564. Did we mention you can go live if you want to? The only thing we ask is if you will give us your name and be ready to turn your radio down before you start asking your question. That way there will not be an echo or any kind of confusion. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. So we do not want confusion here. So go ahead, call in your question right now, or you can have it written down and brought into us if you'd rather. That would be okay as well. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have Kelvin calling in today. Kelvin, we sure appreciate it. Or Calvin, I think that's perhaps the pronunciation. We sure appreciate you calling in today. He says, is the purple or lavender for Easter biblical or just something man came up with? So what I did was just did a quick scan of the Old Testament to try to validate whether or not purple had significant meaning in the Bible. And so what we find is that purple was used in the curtain or veil in the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 26. We see that Aaron's ephod, which seemingly is a garment that the priest would wear, was made of purple. That's Exodus chapter 39, verses 1 and 2. And then in the New Testament, we see that there was a person who was a seller of purple, Lydia, in Acts chapter 17, verse 14. And then as it pertains to perhaps this particular question, it may have more to do with Christ. In Mark 15, chapter verse 17, we see that Jesus, as he was being tortured, if you will, in preparation for his crucifixion, was clothed in purple. They put a purple garment on him. And then they would take that back off while they were torturing him. That's Mark chapter 15, verse 17. Concerning the reference to Easter, there is no reference in the truest sense to Easter as we know it as kind of the holiday in the Bible. There is a translation in the King James in Acts 12, chapter verse 4 that refers to Easter, but the actual translation there is the Passover. And so what you have is in the Passover, and it may be that purple has more connection to the Passover than anything else. It may be that as people think about the death of Jesus, they're connecting the purple to that garment that was placed on him as he's being crucified. But there's nothing in the Bible to connect the idea of Easter to purple in the truest sense, because again, the only reference to the word Easter in the Bible is actually translated Passover in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. I hope that's been helpful. I just try to give you some information on that. Again, those passages that I referenced was Exodus 26, Exodus chapter 39, verses 1 and 2, Acts chapter 16, verse 14, Mark 15, 17, and then Acts 12 and verse 4. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number to call. Or if you would prefer, you can text your questions in. I don't think we had any text questions today. That text line is 725-9283, 725-9283. Also, we have a website that has previously recorded broadcasts as well as other materials designed to aid you in your study of God's Word. So if you want to check out our website, we encourage you to go to www.BibleAlone.com. Again, that's www.BibleAlone.com. There is also a streaming link. So if you have friends, neighbors across the United States or across the world that would like to tune in, or you would want to be able to tune in to the broadcast, you tell them about our website so they can click that link and they can hear the broadcast live. Again, that website is www.BibleAlone.com. So join us now with your questions. We encourage you to call right now. The lines are open, 308-9564. If you have friends that are out of state, just remind them that the area code is 843-343-308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have Elizabeth calling in right now asking this question. When an elder is bringing in a false doctrine about taking a brother to court, what do you do? Elizabeth, thank you so much for your question, and we sure do appreciate this very much. There's a couple of verses. I'm going to pursue the idea of fellowship, and I think Nick's looking up about how to disagree with an elder, and we'll look at that in just a second. But as far as fellowship, the word fellowship means mutual participation together. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it talks about the idea of can two walk together unless they agree. That's Amos brings that out. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about fellowship in several ways in reference to how that we cannot do that without hurting ourselves in the process as well. It says, beginning with verse 14, it says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, they will be my people. Therefore," so he goes through all of that with this conclusion. "Therefore," verse 17, "come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty." And so we can't really condone anything that would be wrong, because then we ourselves will be removing ourselves from Christ. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul tells them there, he said, "I marvel," beginning with verse 6, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who has called you unto the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not a different one, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Even if we," that means Paul himself, including himself, "or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." So there we can see that we cannot be guiltless if we are playing into or having fellowship with somebody that is doing something wrong. We also will be found guilty. That is true in man-made laws today, because if you were driving the getaway car for a crime that was done, you too are guilty, even though you didn't actually do directly the crime. Now, in reference to litigation between believers, you'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And so there it shows clearly that that we're not to take a fellow saint to the worldly courts. It says he's rebuking them there and says, "Do you not know that saints will judge the world? And if the world if the world will be judged by you, and if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more then things that pertain to this life. If you then have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not one wise among you, not even one who is able to judge between his brethren? And he goes on to say, why not be defrauded? Why not be held in verse 7? It says, now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept the wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be defrauded? So I think that's what you were trying to imply that they're supposed to do. Did you find the verse about how to treat an elder there?
Yes, and believe it or not, the Bible holds everyone to the same standard when we're talking about bringing an accusation against someone. So even an elder, God is saying that you treat them really the same way. And I'll show you that principle in a second. In 1 Timothy 5, and verse 19, the Bible says, do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. And so the accusation has to, again, come from two or three witnesses. It can't be gossip, and it really needs to be witnesses. Now, this principle of two or three witnesses is seen throughout the entirety of the Bible. You find Jesus making reference to that in Matthew the 18th chapter, verse 16. When someone has a conflict with another, he says, take two or more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. You find this language again, but used by Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, he says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And so this is a continual principle that's used throughout the Scripture, that if there is an accusation against an elder, it really needs to be established in the mouth of two or three. So I hope that's been helpful. Ricky, you have anything else to add?
Yeah, what verse was that in 1 Timothy chapter 5?
That was 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 19.
19, that's the verse I couldn't find. Thank you. We sure do appreciate this, Elizabeth. We are honored that you would listen and that you have a desire to know what God says. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 7, Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, and 1 Timothy 5 and verse 19. Thank you again for listening. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and it is our honor to be able to share with you what God's Word says on the matter to the questions that are on your heart. Please know that we are all about what God says and not about what man says. So please, you hold us to this challenge. We're not going to give you what we think or what we feel. We'll just go to the Bible and let it give the answer. Because when all is said and done, and we're all going to be standing before the same judge, and he's going to judge us by his same set of guidelines, his word, the Bible, and thus we're going to let the Bible speak. Those of you that live south of Charleston, in Wadmalaw Island, Hollywood, Ravenel, Adams Run, John's Island, please pay attention to this next announcement. We're coming to your neighborhood, and we want to meet you face-to-face. Here's the details on that. Make certain that you, if you have not enrolled in the Bible Correspondence Course, that you go ahead and do that. And we're not giving an announcement right now, but that number, if you're interested in that, it is free. That number is 553-5157. We'll be right back.
We haven't said a lot about the Correspondence Course today, but let's reiterate how important it is for you to gain access to as much much knowledge concerning the Word of the Lord. And so that's really what the Correspondence Course is. It's a tool that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We want to encourage you that if you have not, go ahead and sign up for it. And maybe you signed up for it and you lost the first lesson that we sent to you. Feel free to reach out, and we're happy to send you another lesson so that you can get started in getting into a deeper study of God's Word. We have a lot of tools that's available to you to aid you in your study. Some of the things we do, we have a more advanced correspondence course that may help you. We're happy to come and study with you as time permits. So maybe an in-home study with you and family. You know, the Bible talks about Cornelius in Acts, the 10th chapter. And when Peter came to Cornelius' household, he was gathered together with his entire family to hear the Word of God. That may be something that you're interested in, and we're happy to try to accommodate as our schedules would permit. So if that's something that you're interested in, that or a correspondence course, go ahead and call the operator standing by and let her know what you're interested in. Again, that number is 553-5157. That's 563-5157. To join us here at the station to be able to call in your questions for us to go to God's Word, go ahead and call 308-9564. We are live, so you can call right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a caller calling in this question. He wants to know, or they want to know, Jesus told the thief on the cross that he would be with Jesus in paradise. How did he get baptized? Well, that's a really good question. The question does come up quite often, and we're glad to be able to answer that. We do want you to know, first of all, that when Jesus was alive on the cross, the law of Moses was still in effect because the Old Testament did not end and the New Testament did not go into effect until the testator died. In reference to that, look at Hebrews chapter 9. Beginning with verse 15, it says, "For this reason he is the mediator of a new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power while the testator lives." So the New Testament did not go into effect until Christ died on the cross. Now, with that said, you ask about how did they get baptized. The very question that the man on the cross asked is really interesting. He said, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." Now, you examine that question or that statement and compare that with what the 12 apostles asked. Even after his resurrection, they ask him, is he going to restore the kingdom to Israel in Acts chapter 1? And so they still had a physical idea of what the kingdom was all about. Even though Jesus said in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world. For if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I'd not be delivered to the Jews. For though my kingdom is not from hence, not from this." So he said it was a spiritual kingdom. He said it's going to be within us, Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. But even with all of that information, walking with the Lord 3 years, and still they had a physical idea of the kingdom. Well, the thief on the cross had no such idea as that. He saw death as something entirely spiritual, and his kingdom is entirely spiritual. And thus he asked, will you be with me when you come in your kingdom? And so, thus, where did that thief on the cross get that kind of information from? Well, who was preaching the kingdom of God was at hand? Yeah, that was John the Baptizer, John the Baptist. And what was he doing to those people that he taught? I agree. So, it doesn't say he was baptized. But that thief had to get that information from somewhere. He just didn't come up with it out of the air. So there's nothing to say he was baptized, but you just draw your own conclusion about that. Where did he get that information? But nevertheless, Jesus said, "You will be with me this day in paradise." Jesus could forgive sin. That should be enough said right there. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it very much. Again, that was Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 15 through 17. We sure do appreciate it. The number is to call your question right now is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283.
You know, Ricky, as you were talking, I was thinking about that in essence. It is an assumption that the thief on the cross had not been baptized. Yeah. And that's typically the assumption that maybe, you know, we don't mean to make, but I think sometimes that's what we make. And, you know, but given the information there, it would be more reasonable to assume that he was baptized, mm-hmm. given the statement that he made. So I thought that was a good point. I hadn't even thought about that. I sure hope that's been helpful to all our listeners, you know, as well as myself. It was very helpful. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. That is our voice line here at the station. If you prefer to text in your question, you can. Our text line again is 725-9283, 725-9283. We made mention earlier about the Bible Correspondence Course that's available to you, so we want to encourage you to take advantage of that. Again, that number to sign up for this free Bible study that we'll send to you in the mail, and you can study at your own pace. The number is 553-5157. We place a tremendous amount of emphasis on studying God's Word and learning His Word and learning His will. And the reason for that is because when it's all said and done, we will be the ones standing before our Lord. We have to give an account of the things that we've done. You know, God has provided all mankind with His Word, and the intent was that we would get in there and that we would study it, that we would learn it. The only way that we can have the kind of faith that the Lord wants is for us to hear His Word. You're familiar with Romans 10 and verse 17. Romans 10 and verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's what you want to hear. You want to hear the Word. You want to study the Word. You want to learn the Word, and thus you want to obey the Word. We want to encourage you in that, and anything that we can do to aid you or help you in that, we'll be more than happy to serve. Go ahead and call in your questions right now, 308-9564.
We have Samantha calling in this question. Samantha, thank you. Thank you for calling, and thank you for asking this question. We sure do appreciate it, and we're so glad that you are taking out time your Sunday afternoon to tune in to ask these Bible questions and to listen. I hope and pray that it's been a blessing to you. And her question is, why are women being called elders and pastors? Well, my first reaction to your question was, I don't know, go ask them. But that's not what you want to know. You want to know what the Bible says about that, and so that's what we'll do, Samantha. So let's go to the Bible. And first of all, let's notice that what you said there about elders, that is, it is obviously wrong. Titus chapter 1, verse 5 says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, a husband of one wife, and then the list continues, that right there should be enough to eliminate any woman from being called that or taking on that kind of responsibility. But you use the word pastors as well, and the word pastor is not used in this passage. But what we need to do is find out, well, is it talking about the same group of men? And we can find that answer in two places. One, 1 Peter chapter 5, and also in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 17, uses the word elders. He's talking to a group of men there. And then in verse 28, he calls them overseers and pastors. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5 starts with the word elders. It says, the elders which are among you I exhort, whom also an elder. Then he's talking to them. He says in verse 2, shepherd or pastor. Maybe the old King James uses the word feed there, but all of them are referring to pastor. Feed or shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. There's the word bishop, episkopos. And so overseers, bishop, episkopos is the word in the original language. So all three words in the original language, episkopos, poimen, and then also presbyteros or presbytery, where we get the word presbytery from, they're all referring to the same group of men. And they are to be qualified based upon 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7, and then also Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. So, Samantha, hopefully that has been helpful to you. To answer your question again, I don't know. You have to ask the people that's calling themselves that. And by the way, one other point, Samantha, you might want to know, and that is it never, ever refers to them as a title, period. It's just not there. The apostles didn't even refer to themselves that way. So hopefully that will be a benefit to you. Time for us to take our next break. Oh, this program is just speeding by. We want you to know that the information that we're about to tell you about, although the meeting in that area is for just those people, the Bible course is for everyone, and it is free. Make certain that you avail yourselves of this. We'll get it in the mail to you. It is free. You'll be blessed if you study it. So it's up to you. Blessed or not blessed? So why don't you be blessed? Enroll in the course. The number here to call in your question is 308-9564. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We want you to know that we are so honored that you would take out time to study the Bible. Not because we have any kind of wish for anything that we are, but because that shows your interest in wanting to please God and to know what God says. And that makes us so excited that you have tuned in today and as we go to God's Word. So don't miss out on having your question answered. The number here is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. So don't miss out. 308, the lines are now available. 308-9564. The Bible correspondence course we just mentioned, it is free, and we're happy to send it to you. We've had a few of you go ahead and enroll today, and we're glad that you have. Don't miss out. Go ahead and enroll. If you've never received this course, it is. It'll be in tomorrow's mail, and we're glad to send it to you. That number is 553-5157. And we also have a text number. Those of you that have a cell phone and would rather communicate via your cell phone, we have had a single text question today. The number there is 725-9283. Either way you want to communicate, you're welcome. We're glad to have you join us as we let the Bible speak. Nick, do you have a question?
Yes, we have a caller calls in. Amazing story that's recorded here. He says, my family put nails through my hands and feet as a child. I also have bruises on my right side from things my family did to me as a child. Seems as if I was crucified like Jesus. Does this mean I'm special? Well, we do appreciate the call, and but we just don't find anything in the Bible that would aid to, because you had these things, you suffered these things as a child, that you're special, even though these things that you suffer may be very similar to what Jesus suffered. There's nothing to suggest that you are more special than anyone else. So, in a sense, you're special, and that you're special like everyone else. Because God wants everybody. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to obey him. And he wants everyone to come to him. He wants everyone to serve him. And so in that respect, we are all special. So just a few passages along that line. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Note the language, whoever calls upon the name. If you look at Acts chapter 10 and verse 35, this is said by Peter at Cornelius' household. It says, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. So again, that language of whoever. And so it may be a lot of us, to include you out there that have experienced some very interesting things, but those things that we experience doesn't make us special, but rather God makes us special in that he wants us to come and to serve him and to submit to him and to be his people. I can only be special if I'm his people. One last passage, Revelation 22 and verse 17. So as the book of Revelation closes out, you have in verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let him who hears says, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. You see, this open call to be special is given to everybody. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. I hope that's been helpful to you. 308-9564.
We have this caller calling in this question, and they want to know. It says, please clarify how you just said the thief may be baptized because John, before Jesus, died. But then you said baptism was only in effect until after Jesus died. So why was he baptized? Okay, well, that's a very good question. It does get confusing, especially when you consider there's over 5 different baptisms in the Bible. Whoa! Again, 5 different kinds of immersions. And I can give you the others, but we'll just focus in on these two. There was John's baptism. John's baptism was for the repentance to the remission of sins. If you'll look at Mark chapter 1, and I believe it is verse 4, it says, John came baptizing in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Matthew brings out that his baptism was to be able to receive him who comes after him, whose shoes he was not able to even unlatch. And so Jesus was coming. Believe it or not, Jesus' disciples were also baptizing while Jesus, during the 3 years he was here. You can see that in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples," and then it deals with that situation. That's John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. So that baptism was saying to believe on him that comes after him, or also the kingdom of God is at hand. So during that 3.5 years Jesus was preaching, they were baptizing as well, as including John. They were saying, "The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. It is at hand, within reach." And even Jesus said in Mark 9 and verse 1, "Some of you that stand here shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power." Now, when all of that was finished, Jesus died on the cross. That brought an end to all of that. And then the new covenant began. Jesus told his disciples, "From that day forward, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth," Matthew 28:18. "Go, therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Mark said, "He that believeth and is baptized will be saved." Luke put it this way, Luke 24, verse 46, 47. He says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached beginning at Jerusalem. So they began at Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2, the very first day the gospel was preached. They asked what they must do in response to that. Peter told them by commandment, God told them to tell this. He told them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Thus, that day, the baptism that still remains today, because there is only one, Ephesians 4 and verse 5 says, one baptism. So that baptism is still in effect to this day. And that's the one that we must be baptized with after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and the church began on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. That's the one that's still in effect. But both of these, what makes this confusing is both of them were for the remission of sins. One was before the cross, the other one was after Jesus' death on the cross, and the kingdom began in Acts chapter 2. So hopefully that has been helpful to you. I know there's a number of verses there. Again, that was I referred to Mark 9:1 to Mark 1 and verse 4. Mark 16:16, Matthew 28:18 and 19, Luke 24, verse 46, 47, and Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. So hopefully you got all that. Again, if you don't, just tune into our website. You can listen to it over and over again. And I apologize for so many verses there. But again, hopefully that's been helpful to you as we let the Bible speak. Again, the number is 308-9564. The lines are available. Go ahead and call your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak. Nick?
We have another call calling in today. It says, "Does the New Testament church use instrumental music in worship to God?" Well, when we look at the assembly of the church in the first century, we don't see a single example of that. So we can't look to that as, you know, as the answer. We do find commands in the Bible on how saints were to sing, and specifically directed at the church. So Paul writes to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. He says, "Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And so that does not authorize instruments of music. We look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Where Paul writes to the church at Colossae, and he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." That does not authorize instrumental music. And then we look at maybe Hebrews, the 13th chapter. In Hebrews chapter 13, it talks about praise. And that's really what we're talking about, right? How do we get praise? And the Bible says in verse 15, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And so when we look in the scriptures, specifically concerning the church, because that's what we're talking about, there is no passage concerning the church that would authorize instrument of music. That is to say, there's no direct command. There is no example of it. And there's nothing in these texts that would force us to draw a conclusion that they use instruments of music in worship. And so what we want to do is just whatever we can read in the Bible, that's what we want to do. Because when God speaks on a subject, we want to stay with that. Does he speak on music? He sure does. And it's about us singing, you know, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, the fruit of the lips. And so I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. It is time for us to take our final break. And so even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions. Or you can pay close attention to the information we're going to give you about a correspondence course, so you can sign up for that. And in addition to that, we're going to be conducting a gospel meeting in a specific area, so we got some details on that as well. So we want to encourage you to listen closely, and to if it applies to you, go ahead and take advantage of it. We'll be right back.
We're back live now. We're glad that you're joining us and glad that you're listening. We hope and pray that you have been blessed by what God has said in his word and not man. And that includes us. We thank you for listening. We hope and pray that it's been a blessing. We have a couple of questions on deck here. And, again, the number here to call in your question is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a text question coming in. Last three digits, I believe, 003, says God gave man, and I think this is a follow-up to our previous question about instrumental music in church. Says God gave man the wisdom to make instruments. David played the harp. And then it says you again are using your own interpretation. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll just go back and see whether that's really the case. So we're talking about, the question was about instrumental music in the church. So when we look in the New Testament, and we don't find a New Testament church, we don't find a single example of where the New Testament church used instrumental music. That's not interpretation. There's just no example. Now, to our texter, if you know of an example in the New Testament church where that's the case, then send that, please. We were happy to have that reference so that we can give that to our listeners. We do find instructions given to the church concerning instruments, not instruments of music, but concerning music. Music they're supposed to be using in worship, and that's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, and Colossians 3, verse 16, which both says, you know, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing. It talks about singing. It talks about making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we do have that as a matter of example. Specifically to the church. And then we also looked at Hebrews, the 13th chapter, which talked about praise. And it says in that text, the fruit of your lips. So we have instructions given to the church. Those instructions are about singing or fruit of the lips. And so if there's other passages that we are overlooking concerning the church and music, we are absolutely open to hear that. So we don't want to bind where God is not bound, but we cannot loosen where God has not loosened. And so the instructions concerning the church is found in the New Testament church. Us, you know, we have the apostles and they were writing to the church, to those churches. And so, again, any of our listeners out there, this is not just to our text, the one who sent the text. We do appreciate you listening. But anyone that if there are New Testament passages to the church concerning instruments or music, we would love to hear that so we can make those kind of corrections. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We appreciate your diligence and your desire to know what God says in his word. We thank you so much for tuning in today. We have Jose calling in this question. His question is, how and why are we saying Christ was crucified on a cross when there is not a physical description? Well, let's just look And first of all, John chapter 19 and verse 25, when it says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister." And then it gives a description of those individuals. Also verse 19, Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And we could go to verse 17 where it mentions the cross. Again, there's many, many passages that refer to this as a cross. Well, the caller also referenced verses where it was talking about in prophecy and quoting in the book of Acts how that they nailed Jesus to a tree. Well, again, that it could have been a tree. Many times history records they would use trees, but after all, it was a wood that they used. Whether it was still alive or not is not the fact, not the problem here. And it very well could have been hewn wood. It could have been a living tree that they would crucify them on. So it was not a matter of the shape of the wood or even whether it was alive or dead or cut or timber. What matters is the way he was crucified was in the manner of the cross, where he was hanging from his hands and his feet. And thus, that was creating the torment. The Romans were very good at this. And so that is the message that is being conveyed both in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as well as Corinth, the book of Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. It is mentioned many times. And so, unfortunately, Jose, you're not looking deep enough to be able to find all those references. But there are many, many in the Bible about it referred to as a cross. But yeah, it could have been a tree, might have been a tree. But by the time you crucify 100 people on a tree and you got that many holes in it, it's not going to be alive for long. And so they would crucify over and over and over in the same spots. His second question is, why do churches have Easter egg hunts when that is a ritual, a pagan ritual? Well, Jose, that's a good question. Maybe if you go and ask them, you'll find out, because the Bible has nothing about that whatsoever. You are so right there, and there is nothing in God's Word about that. So you are right on, spot on. You're exactly right. There's nothing in the Bible about that, and thus it is just churches that are trying to please man and not God. That is not an activity God has told us to do as a church. What we're to be about His business is teaching His Word. We're to let people hear about God and His Word. That's our task. That's what we should be doing. And thus, we're able to be able to honor Him by bringing people to Him. That's why Jesus came, to seek and save the lost. And if we're going to be Christians, then that's what we should be about as well.
Yeah, but there's a real danger in taking days and making them special in a religious, spiritual, giving them religious or spiritual significance, and then engaging in ritual activity, other than what, God has said. And so, again, the purpose of this broadcast is just to get to the Word, see what the Word says on those matters. And so you just don't find that idea of an Easter egg hunt in the Scriptures. And so, there may be a lot of activities that we engage in our own homes that may be perfect and fine. But when we start talking about the church, there is only one who's the head of the church. Colossians 1 and verse 18, there's only one who can legislate or give rule on what should be done. And His name is Jesus Christ.
We are so glad that you have taken out time to join us today as we've gone to the Bible for the answer to the questions that are on your mind. A number of you have enrolled in the course. We are so thrilled that you have saw fit to do that. And we hope and pray that you will be blessed by that. There are many of you that may need to know about the upcoming meeting. Please do not miss out. If you live out south of town, down the coast, do not miss out on this upcoming meeting. The last Friday and Saturday of this month, the 29th and 30th, we want to meet you in person. We'll be at the St. Paul's Fire Department, and we'll be there in the meeting room, and we want you to come out. If you live in the Adams Run, Wadmalaw, Ravenel, area or John's Island, we do want you to come out and be able to meet you and have your questions answered in person. Plus, we'll give you a packet of information to continue your studies in God's Word. And so we want to encourage you in that if at all possible. Please come out if you can. the last Friday and Saturday of this month. Please also keep in mind the Bible Correspondence Course. You only have a few more minutes to call the operator standing by at 553-5157. So don't miss out on this opportunity to get that in tomorrow's mail, and we'll be glad to send that to you free of charge. Again, everything we offer is free, and we are happy to be able to share these things with you. You may be blessed more than you know as you listen to what God has to say in His Word. That's where we need to go, because that's where we're going to answer to God about. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, why call me Lord and do not do the things that I say? One thing that is true here in this life, ignorance of the law is no excuse. It will be true then as well. So if you're within the sound of my voice, don't miss out on getting this course sent to you free of charge, 553-5157. As we're signing off, we do want you to know we are so glad that you've taken the time to be with us today. Obviously, you are seeking after the happiness and the joy and peace and fulfillment that only God can give. And it will not come by seeking after physical things or either money or position. It'll only come by yielding to our Creator's touch, obediently loving Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Learning to be content with such things as we have is part of that, and then seeking after eternal things, not that we can taste and touch here, but finding the answers in God's Word. You won't find them in church doctrines. You won't find the answers in experiences. You won't find them in your pastor or family or even on the radio program like this. You'll only find them in God's Word. My friends, what we must do is let the Bible speak.